What's up, everybody? You're listening to episode 23 of... Just Breathing with Lauded Lungs. Gotcha. Gotcha. Joined again by my wife, Brittany. And I hope you guys are enjoying these podcasts. I just want to kind of shout out to everybody that watches and listens to these podcasts. I appreciate that. I'm probably never going to understand why people do that. Like when you're sitting in the chair, wondering why people are listening to you talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Even though you do it all day
even
long.
Though I do it constantly, I'm constantly listening to people talk, but it's an interesting phenomenon when people listen to you talk.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate it though. I really do. And I hope more people get involved. I hope more people, because I think what we're doing is good. I think the conversations that we're having are productive. I think they're way more productive than anything that you're getting on social media or in the news or in government because we actually care about people. Mm-hmm. And most of those organizations or people don't. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
I should say, I want to be like, and you should get angry about that. Nah. I think ultimately it comes down to just a lack of character and a lack of knowledge and a higher power.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a real purpose for their lives. Mm-hmm. They think the purpose is to gain power and to gain influence and status and whatever else people strive for in this world. But it doesn't satisfy you. It's not actually fulfilling. And it just makes you not caring.
Yeah.
It just ultimately makes you not a person that thinks about his neighbors, a person that thinks about the people around him.
Something I was thinking today, this is how random my head is, but as I was like vacuuming under our table, I was thinking about how like humility is so important, which goes along with what you were saying, and how you don't realize, not all the time, but I feel like for the most part, you don't realize how selfish you are until you start doing unselfish things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like you might think
it's true.
You're fine. You might think you're not a selfish person
mm-hmm.
because you never come up with opportunities to be unselfish.
Yeah.
Because it's when I feel like for the most part, when you do something unselfish, you know it because your selfish nature wants to do what you want. So you're like, wait, I'm doing what I don't like. I'm not thrilled about this.
Yeah.
Or you're not like, it's just not your natural. It's not natural. So you're like, oh, I'm doing something unselfish right now. And I don't know. It's just a random thought. I was like, that's interesting. So maybe if like the more like content I feel that I'm like not selfish, the more selfish I am. if you're never challenged to be unselfish. Yeah. I don't know. I only thought of this today, so this could be totally wrong, but those were thoughts I had today.
I think there are some factors in there that there are some other variables in there, like when you're feeding children and you're like providing for their every need.
Right, right.
On a constant basis. Yeah. Maybe you're unselfish overwhelmed right now. You're just overwhelmed by your lack of selfishness that you're just like, am I selfish? Maybe I'm selfish. I do everything for three small individuals constantly.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm selfish.
maybe I just think about it too much.
No, I think there's something there, though. I definitely think that a lot of people have to make room for being unselfish.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point of charity.
Yeah.
Is that you're carving out a section of your finances or a section of your time and giving it
right.
away.
Right.
So it is an act. It is a conscious.
Practice.
Yeah, it's a practice, a conscious thing that your decision that you're making to give of yourself. Yeah. So I think it's definitely anytime that you can have some sort of pulse on your life and some sort of pulse on your character or some sort of pulse on, you know, whatever is or is not in balance in your life.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Mm-hmm. I love having checks on my life. I love being able to kind of fall back on something, look at something, ask someone whatever I need. Mm-hmm. I mean, even just any type of accountability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, even just me posting to social media when I work out.
Yeah.
I don't care if people care.
Yeah.
If I work out, I'm not working out for them. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate it if somebody's like, yeah, go. I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
You know, especially the people that send me a message and are like, hey, I'm going for it too. Like, I'm working out
too.
That's
cool. That's pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a purpose for doing it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it's just accountability.
Yeah.
Look, I'm still working out.
Yeah.
And saying to myself, you better still work out.
Yeah.
You know?
Accountability almost for yourself.
Yeah. And that's with everything in life, you know, kind of putting stuff out there is a great way to, you know, putting stuff out there to the ether, to the world
that's
is
true.
A great way of keeping yourself accountable to those things. If you have a goal, tell people about it.
Yeah. That is something amazing about talking things out loud. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a huge part of this podcast.
Yeah.
Some of the things that we've talked about, I've actually had to go home and reflect on.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas maybe if it was just like a conversation between me and you at home.
Right.
In passing.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I could get by without actually thinking about this.
Right.
I could get by without actually engaging in the type of whatever we were talking about, whatever act or whatever mindset I said was the best to be in or to do. Now I'm like, oh man, people are going to like look at me.
Yeah.
And say, wow, you're speaking a lot about politics, like way to be optimistic about our country's future when you said we should be, you know, when you said like conversation's the way out. So now I feel challenged in a great way.
Right. You're just more aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So speak it out loud. Tell people about whatever you want to do with your life. If you're thinking about doing something positive with your life, tell somebody right now, text them. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to do something with your life, text somebody, text me, text Brittany, if you know us, and let somebody know, I want to make this change in my life.
Right.
Because then you're...
Tell the right
people,
though.
I don't know percentages, but I would believe that you are way higher of a percentage closer to meeting that goal.
Right, right.
Just by doing that.
Yeah.
Just by getting some accountability
that goal. I feel that's an interesting thing because from personal experience, it's so important to speak it out loud, but also to speak it out loud to someone who is like a safe or wise person, because like you don't want to speak something out loud and then like maybe it's something you are supposed to do and that person like shoots it down and then you're really discouraged to talk about it again.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Like, so you want to tell the right people.
Yeah.
And then like a good friend is someone who lets you speak that out loud and doesn't shoot you down. Like they encourage you, but they also like ask you questions and they like help you work through it.
Yeah.
So you can figure out, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to like go towards, or maybe this isn't exactly what I actually wanted. Like just someone who lets you talk and doesn't like have their own opinion and make it your opinion.
Yeah.
You know, cause like, for someone like me, I'm very easily like, I hate this about myself, but I'm very influenced by other people and their opinions and their thoughts and maybe what they think that I should be. And I have to be super careful that if they like give me what they think,
you're not just automatically,
I don't just take that in as like, that's what I should do. Or I make that a part of my, like, I don't want to say identity, but a part of like, if they think I can't do that, then I probably can't. Or if they think I should do that, then maybe that is what I should do. Maybe I was leaning towards this way, but I shouldn't anymore.
Right.
And it's really, I feel like that's really important to keep in mind about yourself, to really think things through and not be discouraged by people or swayed, like tilted one way if that's not the way that you want to go or you should go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Because, so pick the right people. Definitely making sure. But also, it's a balance between picking the right people and you kind of having those safeguards set up already,
yeah,
too.
That's a good point.
Because
you can't be all careful all the time. Yeah.
Some of your best friends, of the people closest to you, your family members, are going to shoot down your ideas.
That's true.
So you have to be careful of that also. I mean, especially like me, I have a very close-knit kind of group of people in my life mm-hmm. that I really would invest in.
Right.
You know, or really share mm-hmm. kind of things going on or things I'm thinking about. So I keep everything pretty close to the chest. So like, I don't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
So when I'm thinking about that person to share a new idea with or share a new goal with, I mean, it's pretty limited. So you need to just, I'm probably going to have to go to the same people that I go to yeah. for a lot of other things.
But varied group is a good thing too, though. Like it's not yeah. just one person. That's right. good.
Right.
Yeah.
But accountability. Now I'm like scared of accountability. We're like scaring people away from accountability.
No. Accountability is good.
Accountability is good.
It is good.
Just be prepared because accountability involves people.
Yeah. It's always, it's just navigating things.
Yeah. I can't imagine having to navigate that on a large scale where, let's say you have like a huge social media following and like you come out with like a new thing that you're going to do, like a new project
right.
or a new show or idea or whatever it is. And the comment section could just be like, we hate this. This is right. the worst idea ever.
Right.
You know, that would be tough.
That would be tough.
But like I said, with preparing yourself with those safeguards beforehand, you know, as your influence grows or as your notoriety grows or your money grows or whatever it is, you have to be preparing now.
Yeah.
What safeguards are you going to have up for when those things come into your life?
That's true.
It doesn't, I'm saying it for someone that might be bigger, that has a bigger following and stuff like that. But those comments can come from your friends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those comments can come from your classmates or
right. just on everyday things. Not
yeah. wherever
on.
You're at in life. Yeah. So
it's not always a negative thing either. They might not, they might not be trying to discourage you or anything, but you could take it that way.
Sure.
Is what I'm saying. Just be aware. I have to be aware.
People are different. People are unpredictable in that way too. Yeah. So what's new in your life? Anything that is like jumping out at you right now in terms of just life? You talked about selfishness, how that was on your your mind.
Well, no,
anything else that's been jumping out at you?
Well, I've just been learning. I feel like the Lord has been teaching me more about humility and pride, since they I wouldn't say go hand in hand, but they're opposites.
They are opposites. Yeah.
So I guess they go hand in hand.
And
so I've been learning. He's been teaching me about that.
They're opposites. Well, let's get into that. Let's talk about humility for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think, man, is that a good subject right now?
Yeah, that's
true.
That's
in this
true.
World of pride.
Yeah.
Let's talk about humility. And something that I just thought of while you were talking about that, they're not exactly the opposite. Because by that, I mean, they're not without each other.
Oh.
Like, pride is not solely evil and humility is not solely good.
I don't know if I agree with you there, but you have to explain yourself.
Well, that's why we talk. You don't have to agree with me on like the statement, but think about just in, I think sometimes pride gets this bad rap, just like ego. There's nothing wrong with ego. It's when it becomes toxic to your life, when everything's about it, when everything is,
That's pride. Having a big ego is someone who's prideful.
Yes, but what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with thinking you're good at something.
Right, right.
That's ego. Right. Okay, so where does so talk to me about this then. Maybe I'm way off.
So
I'm fine with that.
In my opinion, like someone who has a big ego, you're using that as like a term. They're just, right. I would say you mean, if someone said that, I would think they meant that that person is prideful. They think that they're a little bit better than everyone else. Mm. I think that you can most definitely be a power-filled person and know that you're really good at something, that you're better than it at other people even, but not be prideful. Like you can, you can know I am super valuable.
So pride.
I'm really good at this thing, and I know that I'm better at it than most people because they come to me for this or whatever. But I also recognize that everyone else around me coming to me for help is equally as valuable as I am. That they're valuable with whatever it is that they do. You might not even know, but you recognize that you are not any better than that person. You just have more talent in this area or whatever it is you want to talk about. Maybe you're overall more talented than them for real, but you don't elevate yourself over them as saying I'm better than you.
Pride is okay. So that's pride. Pride is elevating yourself above someone else.
Cause you can be humble and know as a fact, you're more intelligent than someone else, or you can know all of these things. But as soon as it pops you up as I'm more important than that person, that's pride. Then you talk about talk about being I'm proud of someone. I don't think that's pride. That's being proud of someone.
Right.
Which is different.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. I would say pride is always not good.
Yeah.
Now, talking about taking pride in your work, I feel like that's a different use of the word.
It's just not a good definition for
like you
what you're trying to sum up with that statement.
Right. Like I'm proud to be an American or something. You're not saying that you're better than like people who don't live in America. Right. You're just saying like I'm proud that I'm not ashamed to tell you that I live here and that I'm an American citizen. I don't think that's prideful. I think that's just simply like I'm proud to be your wife.
Right.
Like I'm not better than another wife. Like I'm proud that I'm married to you.
Yeah.
You know,
and there is something that happens with a lot of, I was going to say, I mean, it's kind of hard not to like go here first, but like we have a whole movement in our country called the Pride Movement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to go here for any type of controversial reasons. I think it's interesting that that's the name that was chosen for a group.
Mm.
And it's been interesting just from a sociological perspective to kind of watch the ways in which this group has sort of positioned itself in society.
Mm-hmm.
There is an appealing aspect to this group of people.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, just in terms of the shows that they're a part of, just in terms of the kind of culture surrounding them,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a very fun, very hip, very kind of cutting edge culture
mm-hmm.
that is sort of built around this, what was just a movement
mm-hmm.
for civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has kind of developed into, it's just, I just find it fascinating that it kind of has developed into something that has elevated itself in some cases, you know, above other groups.
Right, right, right.
And there's little hierarchies of, you know, pride.
Right.
Prideful groups within the group.
Right.
The pride movement itself. You know,
I think
it's just a fascinating thing when you just step back and you just kind of look at what the movement is called and then how it functions.
Yeah.
There's something kind of comical there.
Yeah. I think it probably was like we said with I'm proud to be an American or something.
Yeah. Oh,
I think that's where
that
started.
It totally was.
They were unashamed to be what they are. And so.
I don't know. I found that interesting.
Yeah,
but
that is interesting.
Okay, so I agree with you. I think I'm having a difficult time separating ego from pride. Mm. Probably for the reasons that you're talking about. Because if I'm like, my ego is usually made up of accomplishments. So things that I'm proud of.
Can't you have a poor ego?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is my ego is boosted through my accomplishments. Mm. Like I'm able to complete something or I'm able to do a feat that maybe someone else was not able to accomplish, or I'm successful in this where someone else failed.
Maybe we're not supposed to have maybe all of our egos are supposed to be the same, like balanced.
Okay. Talk about that.
Like, I mean, you think there's no positive aspect when we talk about ego. It's just a matter of measuring like maybe where someone's at psychologically, because you think of someone who has a big ego, at least for me, I think of it in a negative term. Like I think, okay, that person's prideful, or they have a, I don't even know how you would say it, like
a hurt ego. Yeah.
Maybe someone doesn't think well of themselves. Either way,
like we hear it, he has a big ego or she has a big ego, and like it does have that negative connotation to it. But what's so interesting to me, like I'm not gonna like, I look to people like a David Goggins.
Okay,
this guy was a Navy SEAL. I think he went through the Army Rangers. He, you know, runs like 100-mile marathons or whatever those are called, ultra marathons. Just a beast of an individual. Mm-hmm. Like started out before the Navy SEALs as like over 300 pounds.
Oh yeah, that, you know, guy. Okay.
Yeah, that guy. That dude has an ego.
Does
that
he?
That dude says, I'm going to accomplish this. Screw my body. Screw, you know, whatever thing stands in my way. Right. Screw whatever people stand in my
right.
way. Now, there are negative characteristics that he's quite open with.
Right.
You know, just in terms of how it's affected, how his ego has affected aspects of his life, like relationships mm-hmm. and like marriages and just different things like that.
I would say he's...
But is there a positive to how he's able to just kind of focus his ego into accomplishing things? Or is that...
I would say you were misusing the word ego.
Well, that's the thing. I was misusing the word pride. Now I'm misusing the word ego.
I mean, I could be wrong.
I feel like you're just taking words from me.
I think he just has a strong motivation, or I don't know what the right word is. You're actually the one that's good with words, not me. He's determined to do what he wants to do, which is a good trait.
Right. But there's something deeper there. There's something... Determined is fine. I feel like determination helps you get through
it's
a task.
Like he has that character trait. Like he's very determined and he's hardworking.
Yeah.
And he's dedicated, motivated, mm-hmm. devoted.
Yeah.
All those things are good qualities, and all of those things can result in pride.
Yes.
All good things can result in pride.
And I think they do for so many people. I'm just trying to really dig out if pride is...
Because here, so hear me out on...
Just solely and wholly wrong.
I think it is.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my visual for you.
Okay, go.
Now, of course, I'm coming from a biblical viewpoint here. But so when I think of pride, you have the pride that you usually think of, right? Mm-hmm. Where people think they're better than other people. And then you have what we don't ever usually call pride, but in my mind, it's pride. People who think that they are less than other people.
Okay.
Okay? We have a problem here. The problem with both sides is one side thinks they're better. They're above the other people. The other side thinks that they are below the other people. So like it's unbalanced. They are putting weight on achievement and talent to value themselves. So they're saying, if I am more, if I'm richer and more talented, or if I could just get this break or whatever, then I will be famous and I will be better than that other person who looks better than me right now.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They're prideful. Even if it doesn't look that, you know, I'm kind of exaggerating it. Even if it doesn't look that way.
Right.
They might feel less than because they're putting their value in their accomplishments. And then the people over here who thinks they are better are putting their value in their accomplishments because they have achieved higher than the majority or whatever reason they're prideful. So.
Yeah, it can be both.
It's negative either way. It's knowing, you have to know where your value comes from to stay humble. So you can be very like I've said before, you can know that you're good at something. You can know you're better at most people than something and still be humble.
Right.
If you're still valuing them as just as important as you.
Right. Yeah. And that's such an important aspect of God, is that when you can come at, pride is a very real thing in everyone's life. So if you can come at it with the understanding that everyone was created, as Christians believe, in the image of God, in the image of the Holy Spirit, in the image of the Son, you know, so we are these beautiful beings, mm-hmm. you know, created by a higher power.
Yeah.
It changes your perspective when it comes to how you're going to view that accomplishment, or how you're going to view that maybe future vision of yourself in this world.
Yeah.
Cause then you can, it's kind of the difference with people that see people in their same fields. Like, so if I saw someone else doing podcasting and I viewed them as a competitor, mm-hmm. that's pride.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if I view them as a competitor, you know, I'm trying to win. Yeah. I'm trying to raise myself always above that other podcast that's doing this many views.
Yeah.
You know, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
But if I view them as a companion, mm-hmm. you know, that's humility. That's understanding that we're all in this together. We're all, I hate that phrase though. Gosh, I hate that phrase. Darn you, pandemic. I can't use that phrase anymore. I hate it so much. It's on like bathroom stalls and like, we're all in this together. No, I'm pooping. We're not in this together, actually. And I don't have my mask on because I don't wear a mask while I poop. Sorry. Come take me to jail.
That's hilarious. I love that.
I hate that phrase. That's going to be like, 20 years from now, you know how everybody like draws like Nazi like swastikas on like bathroom stalls?
They're going to write that.
They're going to write like, they're going to write, we'll get through this together. People will be like, darn it, we got to paint these stalls. This blasphemous rhetoric on our bathroom stalls.
That's so great.
But yeah, I mean, that's going back to it. That's the difference.
Yeah.
You know, competition. Whereas competition to togetherness, mm-hmm. and only humility can get you to that point where you're viewing others in that way that allows you to kind of step outside of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, back to selfishness. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that can get you out of that. Cause it's I don't know. I just feel like it's so hard. Pride is so hard. Obviously, mm-hmm. I know I'm stating the obvious, but yeah. I think it's just like, it's like cyclical. Well, like you're just constantly mm-hmm. wanting to be prideful.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to be, you just find yourself being it.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking through it now that you've brought it to my attention, the evils of pride. No, but it's good because, you know, I'm kind of just going over in my head some of the patterns that I see in my own life.
Yeah.
Just, I think pride can creep into, we talk so much about conversation on this podcast because it's so important. And I think pride can creep into our conversations so easily. And I think it could really hurt them.
Mm.
And I'm just thinking right now, just in terms of like, I want to have better ideas than you. I want to win on this pride and ego debate because I'm prideful.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to elevate my intelligence above yours.
Right.
I'm struggling to do so right now, but I can see that pattern immediately happening in my own mind. I think that's with everything, you know, like, oh, I got to the gas stall before that car. Yeah. My car is a little faster in this minivan.
It's so funny. It's so true. I think we all struggle with it, whether we know it or not.
Yeah.
What I was explaining earlier is something that I feel like the Lord put in my mind. Now, this was probably a year or 2 years ago, and I'm not good enough at drawing to draw it, but I wish I could have drew it. But like, I visualized, so that one pride, you know, that thinks they're better, and then the other one that thinks that they're less than. And then this like path. So think of like two just huge ditches or valleys. And then in the middle is this like mountain that's just long and straight. And it like says humility on it. And it's just like super narrow. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to fall off of. And you can fall off either side to the I'm less than or I'm better than. And the into pride. And the only way to get back up onto humility is just repentance. Mm. Like you just have to repent a lot. Because at least for me, I fall off of both sides all the time.
Right.
And I'm constantly like, oh, crap, I'm down here again on like one side or the other. And I just have to repent and get back into the middle. But yeah, that's my visual since I'm a visual learner.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. We all are falling off a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do. And I feel like the only way to really like be able to know your value is when you're in Christ. Mm-hmm. To really, because it's hard. I feel like it's hard to like love yourself or actually believe that you're valuable sometimes. And the only way to really know that is to know the Lord. From what I've found. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's good. Gonna eliminate pride from my life now. Just another thing that we put out there for accountability.
A lifelong journey.
Now I gotta be this prideless individual.
Don't become prideful in that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's true, though. That's probably the hardest, right? Once you eliminate pride from every part of your life, you're like, I am the most humble.
Look at that prideful person. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So great.
Cool. So any other unattainable tasks that you can think of tonight, Brittany? You don't actually have to give us another one. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. You're already killing us.
Oh, I love it. This is what happens when you're not on Facebook all the time and you're constantly cleaning the floors and
thinking
as you're washing dishes and trying to stay calm as your kids ask you another question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is there any aspects of pride in parenting? Like in just in how you raise your kids? I'm just throwing stuff out there. I have no idea.
I mean, I'm sure there is. I can't think of anything right now. But what first came to my mind when you asked me that question is what I was thinking earlier today about selfishness, how I was selfish is like, so I am the parent, right? So I am allowed to make, I am supposed to make most of the decisions, which I believe is true. But I tend to be one who wants to just like control. Mm. I just want to control everything.
Yeah.
And it came to mind that like, I was like, why do I want to control what books we read? I was like, my goodness, I am so selfish. Like there's certain books that I just don't want them to ask me to read again because I just don't like them.
They're not good.
I just, for whatever reason, I don't like them and it's silly. And I'm like, they are my children. They already like have to follow my crazy rules. Like, why can't they just pick their own books?
Well, two of them can't read yet. So, you know, they're just like that one.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, look, that's got purple on it.
Yeah. Hide them. Goodness gracious. It's not a hard proposition. You don't have to be like, am I selfish? No. Hide the books.
That's selfish.
Then they won't. Selfish? They don't know.
That's true. They might not know some of them, but some of them they do know. They do like, and I just don't like them. So anyway, that was my. I feel like being
that's
a parent
where the fall came from. Yeah.
Yes, being a parent really teaches you, like, how selfish you are, because you're always like come up to like situations where you're like,
well, your kids are a huge reflection of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a nice, wonderful mirror of self-reflection that you get.
Don't want to know.
When they're saying things that you don't want them to say, or you're like, do I say that to you?
Or do I look like that? Like, is that how I respond? Sometimes I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they teach you a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I think that's probably the thing kids teach you the most. They do humble you if you let them, because you realize like how much you need to grow. It's tiring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One concept that I thought was interesting. I haven't tried it in life, but it's the whole concept of thinking of everyone in this life as babies. And it's something that definitely raising kids. Well, just let me explain.
Sorry.
Before you disagree with me again.
I'm picturing a whole bunch of babies with diapers.
Thinking of people as babies is sin. No, I don't know. That's pride.
Oh, that's so hilarious.
I don't know. The concept is to basically get you to view people not as maybe the jerks that they are right now, but like that jerk used to be someone's baby.
Mm.
Like that jerk used to be a child that maybe just had a screwed up home life, and that, you know, you don't know what happened there that led them to this, that led them to that, that led them to just be a jerk to you at Sheets.
Right.
Whatever.
Yes.
That's an interesting concept to me. I've never explored that. I've never tried to like do that in life, because I'm a pretty personable person, and I'm a pretty stuff can kind of roll off my shoulders pretty easily. You know, when people are yelling at me or something like that, I'm like, okay. But it's an interesting concept. And I think it definitely stems out of you definitely can understand it more when you have kids, because they're already kind of doing that to you. Like you're saying, you're looking at them, you're self-reflecting about yourself. You're trying to bring back something, a better you, so that they reflect a better you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's parenting, really.
Yeah.
Is like, you're just trying to be the best thing, a version of yourself for your kids, so that they become that version of you, you know.
That's true.
While still being open to them becoming the individual that they are.
Right.
You know, it's a hard balance.
It really
is. And that's why, you know, a lot of parents struggle with that. A lot of parents either want to go all gung-ho and say, you reflect me and you be me and you accomplish the things that I wasn't able to accomplish in life, which is not a good thing to do with your kids.
No.
Don't do that with your kids. 'Cause they won't do it. They'll run the opposite direction really fast. Or you'll really just not show them anything.
Mm.
I mean, that's the complete opposite.
You're right.
You know, part of that story is you just not really give much of yourself for your kids to even reflect.
Right.
And then they're just kind of unsure of themselves going into life.
Yeah.
Especially for the kids that don't have anybody there in their lives.
Right.
Then they're reflecting their friends.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
And then they grow up to be little children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Running around as jerks.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I want to just say something though. You do that sometimes.
What?
Like you look at people, maybe you don't think you're looking at them as like a baby, but like I remember you saying, well, that person's doing, you know, something happened in their past that to make them like, I remember you saying things like that. Maybe you're not going all the way back to like when they're a baby, but I remember, right. I remember you reminding me like that person probably had something happen, right, you know, in their past that made them like that or whatever.
You know, it's interesting. Like you've definitely helped me feel more in life. No, seriously, this is completely true. I'm not BSing at all. Like I have been through a lot in my own life that has sort of just sucked a lot of the emotion out of it, you know, kind of sucked a lot of the joy out of it. And I have a great life. I have a lot of fun in my life. I love my life, but I think a lot of people can relate to just going through things in your life that take a toll.
Yeah.
And I kind of became a very emotionless person after that time. I could show emotions. I could be funny. I could laugh. I could, you know, show emotion. I could be open with my feelings, but I dictated them.
Right.
And in situations that maybe could have called for more emotion.
Yeah.
I would just show none.
Yeah.
I would just kind of be sitting there like no tears, nothing.
Yeah.
I don't even feel it.
Right.
But then you always kind of felt people's, like whenever there was a painful situation or we were watching a movie in which someone was going through something, like you felt it. Like you were there with that person, you know, you were in their body. Like you really felt it. And that just kind of gave me, that helped me sort of gain some new perspective for maybe situations that you're talking about in which that, because, you know, what's interesting too is when you've gone through hard things, you actually are able to feel more for the people that are going through harder things. Or maybe are the harder ones to love or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's something about that that's, I know, true for me. I don't, you know, maybe other people it's true for also. But like, I just definitely feel for people that I know aren't going to get any love. Because of maybe mistakes that they've made, maybe because of things that they're currently doing, attitudes that they're currently displaying to the world that is from something else, like you said, is from a deeper place, but like no one is going to give them the time of day because of what they're projecting.
Yeah.
Those people I do have more of a heart for some reason. You know, I think it's because of my past and stuff like that. It's interesting. I don't know.
I love that about just relationships in general. Like, yeah, it's so great when you can get to know someone better and you are positively changed. Because, like, I can say the same thing for me. Like, I love how God does that. Like, we are supposed to be in community because we teach each other and we level each other out when we're looking at each other's strength.
Yeah.
Strengths. I can't say that word. Cause like for me, I have gotten more, in control of my emotions, if that makes sense.
No,
like,
that makes sense.
Like they don't push me around as much. Like I still feel them.
Yeah.
But I am not as like, I can think about them now.
Right.
I can be like, okay, I know I feel that way. That's a little ridiculous.
Right.
Like
you're not overwhelmed.
I'm not overwhelmed by them. And I think that's because of like, well, I think it's my relationship with God first, but then like, I see you practice that. Like you're really good at that. And you're able to be level-minded when I'm not. And it's super, it's really good. And to be able to Yeah. Just learn from others and like glean mm-hmm. all their strengths and learn for yourself where you're not as strong. And
along that journey too, see, and I just want to kind of interject this, see where maybe the way that you were acting that you do need to grow from, away from maybe a little bit. Maybe you were just, like you said, you were getting overwhelmed by your emotions to where I was emotionless in some cases.
Right.
So there needs to be a balance.
There's a balance,
you need to be able to feel, you need to not get overwhelmed by things. But also know the strengths that maybe are a part of your kind of natural reaction to things. You know, there's a strength to kind of being able to control your emotions, like you're saying. So I need to see that as a strength, but know when I need to let that down a little bit and feel now.
Right.
Especially if I'm like, you know, walking with you through something.
Right.
I need to be like, she needs me to feel with her now. So, and with you, it's good to feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to let your emotions out. It's healthy.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't overwhelm you.
Right.
But it's good.
Yes.
You know, so always keep that in mind too. The things that you go through, the ways in which you react to things in your life is not, now we're back to this. It's not wholly negative.
I agree with this one.
Okay. Thank goodness. You guys were about to get a new task, but we were saved.
That's the awesome thing about every personality, though.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, every personality can either go completely wrong or it can go completely right. Like, every personality has strengths that it can grow in and be, like, really awesome in.
Yeah, yeah.
But like anything, it can also go, like, the other way and not be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you can get to the high point of the positive of your personality traits, then that's awesome. That's when people will learn too from you. Mm-hmm. If they struggle in whatever areas. So
yeah. One thing that probably a lot of people have heard of, but if you haven't heard of it, a good tool, and I will never advocate for it more than a tool, is the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the pentagram. We're not advocating for any Ouija boards or satanic worship or anything, you know, crazy. It's called the Enneagram, but it's basically this personality trait test that you can take. The paid one is the best one. You can take some free ones to kind of get an idea of maybe what personality type you are. But it's very, what I like about it as opposed to some of the other personality tests that I've done in the past is that this one kind of shows you the positive and negative traits. Like it kind of, like you said, everything's kind of on a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be of the same personality, but be over here on the spectrum and be very negative,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you could be all the way over here and really embody humility. You could really embody, you know, the good aspects that make you you, that make you whatever your personality trait is. If you're a leader, you know, of some kind, that's not one of them, but whatever the trait is, if that's what you're really good at and what just comes naturally to you, you can be a healthy version of that.
Yes.
And it'll kind of describe that so you have something to aim for. And then also what's cool is these tests also show you how you interact with other numbers on this. There's 9 numbers in this personality test. And it shows you kind of how you interact with those different numbers. So if an 8 and a 9 or a 7 and a 3 or whatever it is that maybe you and maybe your spouse turn out to be,
mm-hmm.
it can kind of help you have some good conversations about your different traits.
Yeah.
And especially you have to be careful. I don't advocate for people to be super open about all this stuff, because if people I don't think this is a big thing that would ever really happen, but like the worry is if people know your personality trait and kind of know your triggers and things like that, someone could exploit it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's really for you. It's for your right. own self-development, for your own growth.
Yeah.
And maybe for one or two other people.
Right.
You know, for you guys to grow in relationship together and kind of deepen that. So Enneagram, that's a good thing to look up. And there's so much information out there yeah. about it too. So you'll have no trouble True. Learning about it. There's so many YouTube videos. There's so many podcasts about it. It's good stuff though.
Yeah.
We haven't really looked at it in a while.
No.
We kind of learned from it for a little bit. Maybe we'll go back to it if we see the necessity yeah. or the need.
I thought it was really helpful in two, well, one, a lot of ways. But the one thing I wanted to share was how you said how you can see how you can grow. I also liked it for, it kind of almost gives you like a little like bell in your head. If you like notice you're going down like the unhealthy side.
Yeah.
Like it kind of points those things out.
Yeah, so you said it best. That's really one thing that's very good for is like when you know the negative traits.
Yeah.
You can kind of be like,
oh, I'm hitting that.
Yeah, exactly. Hitting that one on the head. Yeah. Like, oh, crap.
Right.
Yeah. That's one thing that it's very good for.
And it's encouraging, too, because then you don't have to be like, oh, I'm just awful. You'd be like, oh, well, I can get better. Mm-hmm. Like,
It's cool, too, because once you kind of know, especially your number well, you can really easily, sometimes, you can really easily pick out other people in life that kind of espouse those same traits.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I think he's a whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever number, just like me.
Yeah.
And if it's a positive person, like if it's someone that you could look up to, follow that person.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have like a role model, or if you don't have somebody that, you know, is really kind of helping you along in this life to grow, go to the internet, find a good person, find someone that's really doing some good things that kind of has your personality, and try and model yourself after that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what they're doing in business, look at what they're doing in life, look at what they're doing in their parenting or in their marriage or whatever it is, and get a role model. You know, and that's such a positive thing too. I do that with a lot of different personalities, and just kind of piecemeal and pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always good to have people that you look up to, not idolize. I don't think that's one thing that, I don't know if this is part of my personality or not, but I've never had like a person that I've idolized.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good to have like people you look up to though.
I've never been I should say this, like, because idolize is a big word. I've never been like a fan boy.
Okay, okay.
Of any band, any, I've really liked certain people. I follow a lot of people that I really look up to and look horizontally to. Like, there's definitely a lot of people that I follow that I also am like, going back to pride, I think I'm as intelligent or more intelligent than some of these people.
Right.
You know, I think I'm as athletic or more athletic than some of these people. I think I'm fill in the blank. So it's good to have those people too, who are just striving. That's a bad word. Who are just kind of grinding, who are just working hard, who are going after their goals. And you can just say, oh, you're going after your goal too? Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. You know, I like those people too. They don't have to necessarily be so high above you in any aspect of life, but their work ethic or their lifestyle could be something that you really try to look up to and model.
Yeah. I think that's helpful to, we'll use the term look up to instead of like idolize, because as soon as if that idol like disappoints you, then you'll be really disappointed if you're not just looking up to them.
Right. That's the thing. I don't
know. And everyone is going to disappoint you at some
point. I don't know if I found out early on in life that like most people will disappoint you. Or like if I already had that in the back of my head, I don't know what's kind of kept me from that. Like I always used to listen to like, I had some bands that I used to listen to like nonstop. Like Switchfoot used to be like one of my favorite bands. And I can name two of the members of the band. I can name the lead singer because he did some solo projects. So I found out his name that way. And then I knew his brother.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I don't actually know his brother's name now that I think about it.
Maybe you did at one time.
I probably did at one time. But like, so that's just an example. Like for some reason, like I liked the art. I didn't care that much about the artist.
Right.
And that's kind of with like everything in life. For some reason, I never really had this attraction to like the person.
Yeah.
Just what they were producing. I was always attracted to what was being produced. The right. music, the art, the creativity, the work ethic, the physical results, whatever it was, I was attracted to what they were doing and not who they were.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's worked for me.
I think that's good.
I think it works.
I have like, I never really, yeah, I just wasn't that, I wasn't very knowledgeable about like bands or anything ever. but I know there's one person who I do look up to that I know, but I wouldn't say idolize, but I definitely want to know like who they are as a person. I just think they're very, like they're someone who lives out their faith,
mm-hmm.
like for real.
Yeah.
And I'm just challenged by it. And it's someone who I want to be like, not because like I'm putting them up on like a pedestal above other people, but because I think they're actually doing what God calls us to do. And it's hard to do that in this life. And you don't see a lot of examples of that. And I think that that's encouraging to me to see it in real life, someone I actually know. And so, but because I look at them in that way, like if they were to like mess up or something, like I wouldn't be devastated. I mean, for them, I'd be sad, but I'd be like, they're just a person like me and I know how much I mess up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to definitely give them grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
because I want them to give me grace.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah.
Yeah. Me and Pat talked about that on the last podcast. We were talking about like just the fact that Christians struggle to give grace to people. And I made a Spider-Man reference. It didn't really go over that well, but I mean, I was like, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I botched it in the podcast, but with great power comes great responsibility.
Where was that in the movie?
What?
You know me, baby. I can't. I don't know.
You didn't watch the Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire?
I'm sure I did.
Oh my gosh.
But I don't remember those quotes.
Like the most important part of Spider-Man.
Did Pat remember that part?
He had no idea where I was going with the Spider-Man thing. Once I brought up Spider-Man, he was like, it's okay. It's okay. It worked out because what I was saying is with great grace that we've received should come with greater grace being given.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See? See?
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked. I'm so happy and prideful inside right now.
Can be grateful, a little filled with gratitude.
I am very grateful in my work. No.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. Well, let's wrap it up here. I have to use the banyo quite a bit. So guys, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Like I started out at the beginning saying why you listen to us. I have no idea, but I hope you enjoy it. I know we're having good conversations. I know we're really getting into stuff that matters in this world. And it's stuff going on right now. I know it's crazy. I know there's a lot of whacked out stuff going on in our world. And there will always be. There will always be. And it really just matters what you do with, I was going to go into like a Lord of the Rings quote, all that matters, Frodo, is what you do with the time that you were given.
You
I don't know
sound
why
like Batman.
I know. Pat made fun of me for that too. He was like, "Why do you sound like Batman?" Because I have a high pitched voice.
Can
That's
I sound
why.
Like Batman.
I can't sound like Sir Ian McKellen. Like, goodness.
Oh, I love Anyways. Gandalf though. Thank you for that quote.
Yeah, Gandalf is amazing, but. All that really matters is what you do with your own life, how you work on yourself, how you better yourself, because that will change the world, not government, not anything else outside of us changing ourselves, transforming ourselves, growing ourselves. So make sure you're working on that. Make sure you're focused on that, because that's where it's at. So YouTube watchers, before you go, make sure that you like this video, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you get notified when we come back with another Just Breathing with Lauden Lungs. Those listening, make sure that you subscribe to us and follow us if you're on Spotify. And if there's a review function, give us a good one. Give us a 5-star review. Say something nice. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you on the next episode. Love you guys. Bye.